This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, I'm Melissa Idris, and with me, Tan Chung Han and Joyce Goh. Yesterday, stocks, U.S. stocks closed higher on the first day of the fourth quarter as investors cheered after the U.S. and Canada struck a new deal for the new NAFTA. It's called the U.S.-Mexico-Canada Agreement, or USMCA. Now, joining us on the line from New York, we have Joe Quinlan, Chief Market Strategist at U.S. Trust Bank of America Private Wealth Management. Good morning, Joe. Thanks for joining us today. We're looking at the Dow, and it rose nearly 200 points after the U.S. and Canada struck that deal. What's your take on this new deal? How sustainable do you think it will be in terms of its impact to markets?
Well, the biggest part of the deal was there's a lot of pushback on U.S. companies worried about their global supply chains, particularly between Mexico and Canada. So this deal prevents the global supply chains from being eroded or disrupted. That's why the markets reacted so favorably today. Industrials, materials, automobile manufacturers, there's a lot at stake. There's a lot of money already invested, and this investment looks still to be good.
But, Joe, some analysts are saying that this is essentially NAFTA, but with some bells and whistles. Do you agree with that?
I haven't seen the details. I've been traveling all day. But let's look at the bigger, broader picture. I mean, NAFTA with some new bells and whistles, that's better than no NAFTA or no deal at all. Mm-hmm. So, NAFTA was negotiated in 1994 and before then. This pulls it forward. And it'll take some time to figure out the winners and losers, but it's a market positive overall for all three economies.
Yeah, I mean, Joe, how significant is is this primarily politically driven? Because we know that we are about a month away from the midterm elections, or will this actually yield significant results in the economies in North America?
Well, I mean, without NAFTA, and if each party went alone or separate, there would be missed opportunities across various sectors, whether it's automobiles, energy, consumer electronics, on down the line. So this deal continues the further North American integration. So that's a positive. Was it political, with the midterm election? Some of that true, but, Canada was the outlier, had to come to the table, thankfully made a deal, could work with the United States. So, as I said earlier, I think economically this makes a lot of sense for all three economies, all three markets.
Joe, moving to markets in Asia, they were mixed yesterday, and this follows the release of data Sunday that showed a slowdown in China's manufacturing sector, and also prior to this news of the new NAFTA deal that came out. So we're just months away from the year end. How are you expecting Asian markets to end 2018?
Well, when you say Asian markets, I mean, we see a lot of value, and we're buying Japan. When I think about emerging market in Asia, I think technology, of course, Malaysia being part of that. But it all hinges on China. No doubt the economy slowing down. Is it slower growth than 6%? I mean, the market's discounting 6.5% growth out of China. But if we get a China shock, which I don't expect in the fourth quarter, i.e. growth lower than 5%, then I think we've got some further downside in emerging Asia. But any downside in the technology sector of emerging Asia, that's a buying opportunity for long-term investors.
Joe, what about the European stocks? Because European stocks are still relatively cheaper if you compare them to U.S. equities. Are you looking at the European market?
We are looking at the market, but we're a little concerned about a hard Brexit. We're concerned about the European Commission parliamentary elections next year. A little concerned that Macron, kind of the more liberal pro-market president of France is losing some ground to the inertia of the French state. So, I think, and if you look at Europe, the European Union growing by half the rate of the United States. So I think Europe, is trading at a discount relative to the United States. And I think that's, to me, we're not there yet where I want to sell out of the United States and buy Europe. Mm. I'm still buying the U.S. as opposed to stepping into Europe.
Joe, would you still find justification to buy outside of the U.S., given the kind of PMI data that we got yesterday around the world? We're looking at China's one, for example. China's manufacturing sector worsened in September. You contrast these kind of PMI readings versus what's happening in the States, growth exceeding 4% there, certainly chugging along. So do you think you'll ever find the rationale in the near term to invest outside of the U.S.?
Oh, sure. I mean, in the sense that, the more the trade in the United States becomes crowded, more overvalued relative to the rest of the world, the more you want to like think about putting money overseas. So, you know, I do think, you know, the U.S., a lot of the good news is being priced into the U.S. markets right now, earnings, dividends, growth. So, you know, but go slowly in the emerging markets. I mean, the big outlier in the emerging markets is just weaker than expected growth in China and the trade tensions between the United States and China. I think there's some trade deals between, say, South Korea, Japan, the European Union. The U.S. can conclude all these. But with China, it's going to be a longer road to really work through. And I think that puts more downside pressure and makes investors more cautious legitimately.
Joe, you think this is just the tip of the iceberg for China with data coming out for September, as Han mentioned, is showing manufacturing sector worsened in September. Is this just the tip of the iceberg? And are you expecting rippling effects from China to negatively impact Asian economies moving forward?
Well, watch. I mean, it's remarkable. Oil prices are pressing higher. That's more supply constraints. Copper, however, is weak. And I think that's due to the slowdown in China. You've seen a bear market in a lot of Chinese equities this year, so the markets have gotten that right. So I would just say, you know, for the long term, the near term, I think China gets cheaper, and I want to buy China at cheaper prices, particularly the e-commerce giants. But you're going to have to be patient because I think there's more saggy, softer numbers coming from China in Q4. Get ready for those.
Right.
But if you're a long-term investor, that's a buying opportunity.
Joe, you mentioned oil prices is trending up. Do you think the uptrend momentum is sustainable?
Well, sustainable to what level? I don't see $100 oil. I think, you know, $80 to $90 is kind of where we're at. There will become a point where oil prices become too high, encouraging consumption to be, you know, pulled back, alternative investments to kick in. You got to watch that very carefully. Obviously, we've got President Trump very much adamant, you know, working with Saudis to increase production. The United States is flat out. We're now 11 million barrels per day. So I think, you know, kind of we're upside, yes, but not to 100 because that in itself becomes, you know, a depressant on the prices, nothing higher.
What about gold then? Because gold prices have been on a downtrend, especially after the news that the Fed is looking at, well, you know, starting to communicate possible U.S. rate hikes through 2020. So what's your take on gold then?
Well, I mean, we like precious metals, but we're not overly, you know, gold bugs. We're not overly concerned about a breakout of inflation that would, like, push money into hard assets, gold in particular. So, real interest rates are, you know, 1% if you subtract inflation from some of the yield 5-10 years. So, you know, inflation hasn't broken out. I know there's wage pressure building, but we're not there yet. I mean, it's hard to be, you know, overly optimistic on gold given the growth, monetary, inflationary global backdrop.
Joe, thanks so much for speaking with us today. That was Joe Quinlan, Chief Market Strategist at U.S. Trust Bank of America Private Wealth Management in New York.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.